Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to know how much this ministry is touching your life. Please take a moment and email us your story at stories@transformationchurch.net. Also, if you would like to help support this ministry financially, you can do so by visiting us at transformationchurch.net, clicking on the Giving tab, and choosing the giving option that best works for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
I'm so excited to be with you today, and I'm especially excited that you're with us today. So welcome. So glad you're able to join in and tune in here this morning. If you're here present today during the sermon, you can remove your mask if you feel comfortable enough to do that. According to CDC guidelines, as long as you're 6 feet apart, you can just kind of take that mask off to breathe, sort of like you're going to a restaurant. So feel comfortable. If you want to kind of spread out some more, feel free to do that. But if you want to leave it on, you can leave it on as well. We're just so glad that you're able to join us. And I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to preach to human beings. I'm excited to preach to, I should say, to people in the house. Let me encourage you, if you're watching online, you're a little hesitant to come back. This is safe, spacious, sanitized, and spectacular. There's nothing like in-person church. So if you're ready, and when you're ready, let me invite you to come back to church. We'll be waiting for you. Right, people? Right, church? Yeah. We're waiting for you. Like I said, if it's okay to go to Walmart and it's okay to go to Buffalo Wild Wings, how many know it's okay to come to the house of God? I don't care what anybody says. We are cleaner than Walmart, hands down. I can tell you that right now. We spray the chairs and spray the people, and we do everything to clean, keep people clean and sanitized and masked up. It's a touchless experience. You just come down, sit down, and just walk out. So just encourage you. And I can tell you this. It does something to your soul when you're in the house. It does something to your soul and to your spirit. The church is not a church unless it gathers and then scatters. Come on now. You can't be part of a team if you don't show up for practice or for the game. So let me encourage you, when you are ready, we're ready for you. We hope you join us for this game. And I'm ready to preach today. You guys ready to listen? I'm ready to preach because God has put something in my heart and in my spirit for you. And I really, God has put something in my heart and spirit for me. So I believe God is doing a new thing. I believe God is going to transition us, and we're in transition. And I'm sorry if you think this message is repetitive or if it sounds like a broken record. How many know what a record is? Yes? Everyone 50 and over, right? Lift their hand. About 40 and over. 30 and overs know what a record is? I might sound like a broken record, but God is trying to speak to us because we need eyes to see. We need eyes to see what God is doing in our lives and in our world. We don't just need physical eyes to see, because if we look at our circumstances in the natural, all we see is hopelessness, problems, difficulties, uncertainties. I don't know about you, but have you ever said this? When is it going to end? Or no end in sight? I'm here to tell you that in spite of what we're going through, in spite of what we're facing, in spite of the challenges, God has not stopped working. God has not stopped moving. God is continuing to move. God is continuing to work in us. God is continuing to work in our hearts and in our lives. God is not on pause. God is not quarantined. God is not at home, hiding in a closet. God is moving. God is working. And God is doing things that you cannot imagine, things that you have yet to see. Scripture tells us in Isaiah 43, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Then he uses the word in verse 19, cease. See with your physical eyes. See, but more with your natural, your spiritual eyes. He says, see, I am doing a new thing. And it springs up. Do you not perceive it? You got to be crazy to not believe or see that God is doing a new thing. What we need is spiritual eyes, eyes to see the things that God is doing. And if you take a step back and take your eyes off of the news and off of the things of this world and listen to what God is saying and see with your eyes of the Spirit, I know this, that God, you can see that God is doing a new thing. And I believe we're in transition. I believe we're moving from where we are to where God wants us to be, because God has an incredible plan for our lives. God has an incredible purpose for our lives. God has an incredible destiny prepared for you and for me. If you're not dead, God is not done. Come on now. If you're not dead, and if you're still breathing, and if you're still listening, and if you're still here on this earth, then God is not finished with you. God spoke to Jeremiah and said, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future," unless coronavirus comes. That's not what it says. God's purpose and plan for your life doesn't have an asterisk or a if this doesn't happen. No, God's plan and God's purposes will be fulfilled in your life and in this generation, regardless of what you and I are facing. You see, you and I are about to cross a threshold. I hope that you can see. I hope that you can hear. I hope that you can feel, because you and I are about to cross a threshold. What's a threshold? A threshold physically, it's like a doorway. It's a strip of wood or a strip of metal, right? Strip of wood or strip of metal that you cross over to enter into a new room. You know what happens when we enter a new room, or when we cross the threshold into a new room? You know what happens? We forget. You ever walk into the kitchen and forget what you were about to do? You ever walk into your bedroom and go like, wait a second, I know I came into this room for something, and I totally forgot why. What about the store? Yeah, this happens to me all the time, to go to the store. I go to the store and I blank out. I'm like, why did I come to this store? And then I got to check my phone and text my wife and tell her. And then she tells me, this has happened a couple times, she even tells me I still forget to buy what she told me to buy. Y'all have that same experience? Do you know that that's a real psychological effect that happens in our lives? Listen to me now. Psychologists believe, listen to me, that passing through a doorway and entering into another room creates a mental block in the brain. Why? Why does that happen? Why do we forget from here to there as we enter into another room? This is what happens. When we walk through the open door and cross the threshold, okay, the open door resets the memory. Y'all still with me? It resets the memory to make room for the creation of something new. That is what Isaiah was talking about. That's what God was saying to Isaiah. He says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past, because you're about to cross a threshold into something new. And when you cross the threshold, okay, you're going to experience a mental block, which is going to create space for you to experience the new things that God is going to do in your life. Sort of like childbirth. How many women gave birth to a child, right? Wasn't that a painful experience? I know for me it was. It was a very painful experience. I told my boys, God honest with you, we gave birth. She just didn't give birth, all right? Because seeing my wife in that much pain hurt. Oh my goodness. 20 hours of labor for Joey. Come on now. She was screaming and hooting and hollering. And at one point, she said, where is she? She wanted to jump out of the window at one point. This is true. I couldn't bear to see her in that pain. So I feel the pain. But right before the baby is birthed, you experience pain. Before the baby goes through the transitionary portal into life, okay? Right before you and I transition into the new thing that God has for us, you and I are going to experience much pain, many challenges, many difficulties. How do I know God is about to do something new? We've been through hell these past 4 years. Come on now, somebody. We've been through hell and high water these past 4 months. Did I say years? It feels like years, doesn't it? It's been years. Or has it been months? I can't remember. It's just a fog. I don't even remember normal anymore. We've been through heck these past 4 months. We've been through some trials, some difficulties. You've been through some pain. You've been through some hard times. Are you in a wilderness? Are you in a cave? Are you in a valley? Let me just encourage you. God never created you to live in a valley. He didn't create you to live in a wilderness. He said, the psalmist said it best in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley, you were not meant to live in a cave. Don't get comfortable in quarantine. Come on now. Don't get comfortable in this season of your life. Don't get comfortable in this season, because we are in transition into something new. And God is transitioning us through the tool of pain and problems and difficulties. I believe we're in transition into a new era in which we are going to have to demonstrate a faith unlike we've ever demonstrated before. We're going to have to live a life of trust in God that we, unlike we've ever lived before, because God was going to bring us into new territory that we've never been before. Oh, we're about to cross a threshold. This is what God has been saying to me. I've had dreams. I'm having dreams about this. It's like the Spirit of God has been speaking to my soul and to my heart that we're about to experience a sacred shift or a holy shift. I didn't say what you think I said, all right, you people out there. I said holy shift. Say that with me, holy shift, yeah. We're about to experience a sacred shift, a holy shift, that it's a transition from where we are to where God wants us to be. We're about to give birth. God's about to give birth into our souls. Our souls, we're about to transition from where we are to where God wants us to be. Things are changing. Circumstances are changing. But you know what's changing even more? Is you and me. We're not the same people that we were on March 1st, 2020. How many would agree to that? Yes? We're different. God is changing us. Things are about to cross over into a new threshold. And I believe that this pandemic has not canceled God's destiny for you and for me. As a matter of fact, COVID-19 has accelerated God's plan for our lives. Come on now. It's accelerated God's plans and purposes, because problems and trials and difficulty act like miracle grow on our faith. When we walk in seasons of difficulty, we grow. When we face trials and troubles, we grow. And the biggest danger you and I face is just to get through this and not grow through this. I don't know about you, but I'm growing through this. I'm not just getting through this. I'm growing through this. And one of the biggest mistakes you can make is try to survive it. I don't know about you. I'm not going to just survive. I'm going to thrive in this season. I'm going to grow in this season. Why? Because God has a plan. I love 1 Corinthians 2:9 that says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. For those that are called according to his purpose, God has incredible plans for you. And I'm here to tell you and remind you today that in the fog of uncertainty and in the fog of fear, I want to remind you that God's promises for you are yes and amen. His promises for you will come to pass in spite of what you're going through, in spite of the challenges you're experiencing. God is not finished with us yet. We have yet to see what God is going to do. Because I hear God calling us out of the wilderness and into the promised land. Remember, after 400 years of slavery in Egypt, the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, and God heard their cry. He called a man named Moses to lead them out of slavery. And they were led out of slavery, and God delivered them with a mighty deliverance. And then he led them into the wilderness, which was only supposed to be, listen, the journey from Egypt to the promised land, because he promised them that in spite of their 400 years of slavery, God had a purpose, God had a plan, God had a destiny. He had a land flowing with milk and honey, that he would lead them to that land. Now, that was only an 11 to 14 day journey. Yet they wandered for 40 years. God had a plan. God had a purpose. But, listen to me, not everyone walked into God's plan and purpose. Not everyone in Israel possessed the promise. And this is the thing, not everyone will walk into the new that God has. Not everyone will experience the new things. Many, many people are going to stay stuck in the wilderness. And many people are going to grow comfortable with the provision. Listen, I agree, God has sustained me. Has God sustained you? God has upheld us. He's provided. He's met our needs. He's brought us this far. This is the danger. You remain comfortable in God's provision instead of pursuing his promise. And so many of us will just enjoy the comfort of God's provision rather than understanding that there's a promise, there's something greater that God has for us. You see, your actions, your words, your faith will either lead you into the blessing that God has promised for you or keep you from what God has promised you. Just because you are a follower of Jesus does not mean you're going to possess God's perfect plan for your life. It takes faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. It takes faith. It takes a decision of your will to choose faith over fear. Especially during these times and days that we live in, we must be people of faith and trust and dependency upon God, that God is going to provide, that God is going to meet our needs, but that God is going to bring us through and God is going to fulfill his purposes in our lives. Because doubt and unbelief in our words can actually keep us from what God has promised us. So many of us are cursing God's blessing over our lives. God has not called you to be a news reporter. Some of us do an excellent job reporting the news on a regular basis. How many know what I'm talking about? Right? Have you heard? Have you heard the latest? I cannot believe if I look at your social media timeline, what I would see is a never-ending news report of all of the articles you're sharing. God hasn't called you to share bad news. God has called you to be bearers of good news, because the gospel means good news. That in spite of what we're going through, I'm not saying ignore what's happening, nor am I saying not to look at what's happening, because we have to be light in darkness. But I am saying is that we need to speak life and blessing over our future, over our finances, over our family, over our jobs, over our situations. We must speak life and believe God's best and not curse with our words, with our actions. Your actions and words and faith will either lead you into the blessing or keep you from the blessing. Don't get comfortable where you are, because if you're going to possess what God has promised, you have to cross over the threshold of faith. So Joshua, in this story, we're in the book of Joshua, and Israel has wandered for 40 years. A whole generation died because of their lack of faith. Only Joshua and Caleb were the only two people to believe in the promise. So God raised up Joshua to be their leader because Moses died and passed away. And after 40 years, they hear these words, get ready. Get ready, because we're going to cross the Jordan. And in Joshua 3:5, this is what Joshua told the people. He said, consecrate yourselves. Get ready, for the Lord will do amazing things among you. Come on now. I wonder how many would believe that. I wonder how many would believe that after 40 years of wandering, after being in a wilderness for 40 years, you see, we've been in a wilderness for 4 months. Come on. We've been in a wilderness for 4 months, and some of us are so overcome with dread and fear that we're paralyzed in our wilderness. We're being paralyzed with our lives. Now, I'm not saying don't be cautious, and I'm not saying don't put on your seatbelt, and I'm not saying don't wear a mask, but this I am telling you, that in spite of what's happening, God has a purpose. And after 4 months, God is saying to us, like he said to Joshua, get ready because I am about to do amazing things. I wonder how many still believe that God does amazing things. Let me say that. I wonder how many believe that we serve an amazing God who still does amazing things. Don't lose your faith. Joshua 3:5. Get ready because tomorrow God's about to do amazing things. I believe God wants to do something amazing. Do you know, in April, I felt God gave me a prophetic word in the middle of April, towards the end of April, during Passover week, I think it was mid-April, that we were reaching our peak and a shift was going to happen. And immediately, I believe, if you look at the stats, things began to drop. And I look at my phone yesterday in my county, it said there are only two people that tested positive for this virus in all of Ulster County. In Orange, I think it was 5 or 10, whatever it was. Do you know that's amazing? That in 2 months, we have seen an incredible drop, right? That's amazing. I believe that as we pray and call on the Lord, that God will hear us and God will answer. And God, and regardless of where you're listening, because I know Florida's getting nailed right now, but I'm here to tell Florida, you'll get through it. God will take you through it. Whatever you're facing, whatever challenges you're facing, hang in there. If you're wherever you might be watching, hang in there, because this is not the end. You shall not die, but you shall live. I believe God is doing amazing things. But our actions, our words, our faith will either lead you into the blessing or keep you from the blessing. So after 40 years, they hear, get ready. We're going to cross the Jordan. But there was a problem. The Jordan was at flood stage. If you read that passage in Joshua chapter 3, that means the water was rushing down. It was the time in the springtime when all of the snow was melting and all of the water was melting and rushing down the river. And it would be lethal to walk into that river. And that's when God called them to cross the Jordan. Are you kidding me? He called them to cross at the worst time. But what is faith? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for and having the assurance of things not yet seen. Joshua had faith that in spite of what he saw, in spite of the circumstances, he had faith that God will bring him through. So Joshua ordered the priests and said, priests, you're going first. The Ark of the Covenant is going first, which represented the presence of God, which held the presence of God. So Joshua and the priest stepped into the river, the rushing river. In other words, they had the Ark of the Covenant. If the water was strong enough, or if Joshua was wrong, they would be all swept away. But as they took a step, the water began to part. Notice, they had to take the step first before the water parted. And God often is waiting for us to take a step of faith before he works on our behalf. Whenever I've been in difficulties and or in circumstances and situations, God has always wanted me to take the first step. He's always waiting to see if I take the first step. I can give you example after example of the times in which God wanted me to take the first step, and every time he's met me. Do you know what the first step does? The first step opens doors and possibilities that there it would be impossible for you to do. God opens doors. God does things that you can't even imagine when you take that first step. So Joshua took the first step, and they crossed the Jordan River. And they finally got to the other side. And they finally, after 40 years in the wilderness and after 400 years of wandering, they finally got to Canaan. They finally got to the promised land. But listen, just because you get to the promised land does not mean it's going to be easy. Because the faith that God is cultivating you in you in the wilderness is the faith you're going to need in the promised land. Come on now. The faith that God is developing you and preparing in your heart is the exact faith you're going to need to possess the promise that God has prepared for you. The faith that God has been developing in all my life has brought me to this moment to help me to believe that in spite of what we're going through, God has more in store. So they cross the Jordan. They get to the other side. And they threw a party. Well, it doesn't say that. I know I would. I would be partying all night long. Come on now. You cross the Jordan. You finally enter the promise. You got your blessing. I'll do a little praise break, right? A little praise dance, right? I don't know how to do a praise dance, but you don't want me to see me try to do a praise dance. What I would probably do is get a DJ and kind of just mix the room, and it'll be a party all night long, right? Just party all the time, right? We cross the Jordan and into the promise. We'll be all night long raising the roof. What about raise the roof? Raise the roof. Raise the roof. But that's not what happened. You know what happened? God speaks to Joshua and says, ain't no time to party. Joshua 5, verse 2. Make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. Wait, what? What? Do I have to explain circumcision? Maybe I do, because y'all got really quiet when we got on this particular point. God speaks to Joshua and says, get flint knives because it's going to be time to... You know what I'm talking about? Isn't that crazy? Wait, what? You want to circumcise us? You want to circumcise us? So if you're going to walk into the promised blessing, the first step is to get circumcised. And what God wants from us here today, guys, you have the flint knives out back? Bring those up front. Because we're going to, ain't no circumcision happening in this house today, just to let you know that. But why circumcise? Now think about the act of circumcision as adults. How many know that is painful, men? How many know what I'm talking? Yep. Men, yep, painful. What would it do? Debilitate you. You'd be laid out. Right, my brother? You'd be laid out. Why would God want them to be circumcised? First of all, it was to renew their covenant with the Lord. Because in Genesis, God established his covenant with Abraham through the covenant with Isaac and Jacob. Circumcision was a reminder that they were marked people. They were marked by God. And in the New Testament, when we look at Colossians chapter 2, circumcision happens to us in the spiritual realm in the New Testament. Colossians 2 verse 11 says, in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self rule by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by who? Christ. First of all, it was to mark them and to set them apart. But second of all, it was to reaffirm their confidence with the Lord, because they would be in a vulnerable place in which they needed God's help. Do you follow that point? That they brought them to a place of surrender. In other words, God brought them to the place of promise, but then wanted to mark them and remind them who it was that was going to give them the promise. And do you know what God has been doing in our hearts and our lives for the past 4 months? He's been circumcising us. Come on now. He's been, in the New Testament, the circumcision deals with the flesh. The flesh. What God has been doing, he's been stripping away layers upon layers of our confidence in the flesh, of the flesh. God has been stripping us. And he's been marking us because he's been preparing us to possess what he's planned for us. I don't know if I could say that again, but it sounded good. Right? When we're circumcised by God, we are stripped of our own abilities and our faith is fully placed on God. And if we're going to possess what God has, we must be willing to cross the threshold of faith and pursue the promise and recognize that we are not going to take possession unless we have the faith to believe in God's power to possess what he's promised. Because what lies ahead may be harder than what we're going through now. But this I know, when our faith is in God, we don't have to worry because God will go before us. And after they circumcised and after they got healed, then God gives them the direction to take a city called Jericho. Next week, we're going to be talking about Jericho. As we wrap this up, if I were to summarize today, I'll summarize it to you in this way. What is God saying to us? God is saying, get ready. I'm about to do something new. Do you see it? Do you perceive it? Can you feel it? And if you don't, then let me encourage you to disconnect from the news and from your phone and get alone with God and say, God, speak to my heart. God is doing something new. Secondly, your actions, your words, your faith will either lead you into the promise or keep you from the promise. What are your actions saying about your faith? What are your words saying about your faith? What is your life saying about your faith? What is the environment of your home? What is the environment of your life? God is leading us and transitioning us into a new era of faith. To believe. And last, if you cross over the threshold of faith, you must cross over the threshold of faith in order to walk into what God has blessed you with. You have to cross over the threshold of faith. So as we close, we're crossing over a threshold. And this week, we are symbolically crossing by faith. I wonder how many out there and how many here today would say, I need to cross the threshold of salvation. I wonder how many are ready to take a step of faith to follow Jesus. I know some of you have been on this side of the coin, this side of the aisle, and you're like, I don't know if I'm ready to take that step. But I'm here to tell you, take that step. Because some of you watching, some of you here today are about to take a step over the threshold of salvation. You need to give your life to Jesus. You need to surrender your heart to him. You need to cross over. I'm tired of the old life. And listen, when you cross over, guess what's going to happen? Your mind. That's what happens. That's why he says, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. In other words, psychologically, spiritually speaking, when you cross into a new, the old begins to pass away. You get a mental block from the past, and God gives you space to experience a new life. So if you're here today, you're ready to receive Christ. Whether you're here today, lift your hand if you're here. I'm ready to receive Christ. Maybe you're online watching. Let us know. Put a hand emoji, maybe on the chat, but I have decided. Follow Jesus. Make that decision to cross that threshold. And then some of you are stuck in the wilderness. You're stuck in fear. Some of you are watching, you're stuck in fear. You're stuck in anxiety. You're stuck in this depression, this bondage. You're stuck in this Egypt. Come on now. Some of you are still in Egypt. Some of you are still in the wilderness. And God is saying, I'm calling you forth. I'm calling you out. How? I've given you my son, Jesus. Not Moses, but Jesus to lead you out. I wonder how many are ready to say, I'm getting out of the wilderness. I'm getting out of the valley. I'm getting out of the cave. I'm getting out of this situation. And I'm about to cross into hope, healing, salvation, miracles, signs, wonders. I don't know about you, but I'm done with this part of my life. I'm ready to walk into the new. I'm ready to walk into the promise. I'm ready to walk into the blessing. I'm ready to walk in the newness of life. I'm ready to walk into the miracles. I'm ready to walk into the promised land. I'm ready to walk into the land flowing with milk and honey. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of all of this down here, and I'm ready to cross the threshold of faith and into this new territory. I wonder how many of you are going to join me. How many of you here are going to join me? Hey, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm ready to cross over. Men, fathers, you got to lead your family. Come on, men, fathers, you got to lead your family. God has called you to lead your families into the promised land. You got to, if you're a single mom, God has called you to lead your family. Come on, I'm ready to cross. How many are ready to cross over with me? I'm leaving that behind. I'm leaving that fear. I'm leaving anxiety. I'm leaving addiction. That's in my past. I'm transitioning into the new. Something is about to be birthed in my life. And I want to declare to you and all of us here today, something is about to be birthed in this church. Something's about to be birthed in you. Do you see it? Can you feel it? Do you sense it? Get ready. Can you take a step with me? Let's all stand as we close. Let's all stand together. Maybe you're watching online. I want you to stand watching online too. Everyone stand, because we're going to take a step. Don't take the step yet. It's going to be simple. We're going to close. But symbolically, this is what we have to do. It's time to cross the Jordan. Get ready, because God is going to do something amazing. Are you ready to cross? You guys ready to cross? On a count of three, we're just going to take a step forward. And then we're going to say, thank you, Jesus. Can we do that? Ready? One. You ready to cross? I feel it in my spirit. I feel it. Give me a little more, Dave. I feel it. This is symbolic. This is spiritual. This doesn't make sense. But when does God ever make sense? You ready? We're going to cross together. First of all, what are you leaving behind? Think about it. You might want to say it. I'm leaving this behind. I'm leaving my pain. I just felt that in my spirit. Somebody's got wounds you got to leave behind. Come on. Somebody's got some carrying some pain. You cannot carry the wounds of the past into your new life, into the newness that God has for you. Some of you have relationships you got to leave behind. Come on now. Some of you have relationships you got to leave behind. Some of you have wounds you have to leave behind. Some of you have sins you have to leave behind. Come on now, sins, habits, depression, doubt. You ready to cross? I'm leaving this behind. And I'm going to step into. You guys ready? One, I'm going to step into. Two, you guys ready? Come on now. I'm going to step into the, take a step forward. Three. Whew. Lift your hands. Take a moment and give God thanks. Say thank you, Jesus. Come on.